Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD workplace accommodations, preparation and implementation. And with us in our virtual studio is Jay Carter of Hyperfocus Coaching. Real quickly, tonight is June the 12th in the year 2013 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A few announcements as the usual fare is, number one, we... ADDA, the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, is having a conference this July 18th through the 24th in Detroit. They haven't had a conference in the last couple years. I was at the last one in 2008. It was spectacular. I mean, absolutely spectacular. And we did a show last Friday with several of the keynote speakers and some of the presenters on that to kind of talk about what's coming up. I'm excited for it. I'm going to be there, and you should be too. So go to ADD.org for more information on that and kind of get into that groove. It's not too late to start or not too early to start planning for the CHADS annual conference, which is November 7th through the 9th at in the Washington, D.C. area. For that information on that, go to chadd.org. Another note out there, anybody out there, we have some mental health professionals and we have some educators and we have other people. And for our listening audience, CHADS is actually going to be turning Attention Magazine digital. They're going to have an online version of it. I think it's going to start in August. I know CHADS very excited about it, and I actually happen to be on the editorial committee for the magazine. I'm kind of excited about it, too, on many different levels. But if you're an advertiser, it's really kind of cool because it's dynamic. It'll work like a book. You can turn pages and all that kind of stuff like an e-book. And if you... if you're interested in advertising, because it's just not print, it'll actually be online, contact Barbara Rose at CHADS, and there'll be a commercial a little bit later that will run her telephone number. And then also, if you are just are interested in it, you can find out more in August by going to CHADS.org and then click on the membership tab and go down to Attention Magazine, and I believe that you'll be able to access it there, so that's real exciting. Some other little tidbits. Attention Talk Radio is a part of the Attention Talk Network. Check out Attention Talk Video at attentiontalkvideo.com. It's basically a talk show where we interview experts, and then we have Attention Talk News, which is a subscription-based service. But you're listening to this show because you wanted to listen to the topic and on an audio format. So let's get into things. Again, tonight we've got Jay Carter. He spent 15 years in various management capacities with the best Fortune 100 companies in the world. He has employed his coaching skills in various entrepreneurial endeavors and has been certified as a Lean Six Sigma coach. I have to ask him what that means. I know what Six Sigma is, but I don't know what a Lean Six Sigma coach is. Jay was diagnosed with ADHD at age 42 while researching learning issues with his children. This was actually a life-changing experience. Jay, at that point in time, resolved to do whatever he could to help others in a similar situation. He served for years as the chair of the Disability Advisory Committee at his Fortune 500 company. He's the current chair of the MN, which I think is Minnesota Business Leadership Network, and serves on the corporate advisory board of the U.S. Business Leadership Network. And what I want to draw out here is that organization – These are nonprofit organizations that exist to help businesses hire, promote, and retain people with disabilities. Jay has completed a year as an intensive ADHD coach training at the ADD Coach Academy and has been coaching adults with ADHD for the past 5 years. He's very active in the ADHD community. He's the technology guru of the ADHD Coaches Organization conference every year. He goes, pays his way, and ends up working the whole time, which is a great deal for them, not so good for him, but we all appreciate him anyway. In addition to speaking at conferences on TV, radio, and podcasts, he serves on the board of the Professional Association of ADHD Coaches and Workplace Committee of Attention Deficit Disorder Association. And I know his work on the Professional Association of ADHD Coaching, that's the PAC, that's a certifying body. I was a part of the charter, one of the original board members, and he's doing great work on that, helping move him forward. Jay lives with his wife, Sherry, and his three children, four llamas, 25 chickens, four rabbits, a dog, two cats, and a partridge in a pear tree, for all I know, just outside of St. Paul, Minnesota. So with that, Jay, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. There's never a dull moment around here.
Four llamas. Four llamas. I don't know what you do with a llama, other than you go to the llama song on the internet that my kids used to go to all the time, but that's I've never heard of anybody with a llama. So what do you do with a llama?
It's really interesting. They're they're relatively inexpensive compared to a horse, for instance. So Our kids have been active in 4-H, and we take our llamas. There are actually several llama farms around us, but the kids are in 4-H. We take the llamas to shows. We take them to parades, and it's just been a really fun thing for my kids to be involved in.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, everybody, this is a show that Jay and I have talked about doing for a period of time, and I was trying to figure out a way to frame this out. He and I had had a couple conversations, and in preparation for this, you know, Jay, you said something that I think was really, really impactful that I want to start things off with, and that is companies are actually really pretty good at accommodating physical disabilities. And what that means to me, and I'm going to ask you for your thoughts on this, Jay, is, you know, when I say physical disabilities, like impairment, let's say somebody has a prosthetic or something, maybe they're paraplegic or, you know, whatever, if they can see it, they're pretty good at working with those accommodations. But what you said that just really blew me away is they're not so good at cognitive disabilities. Those are definitely things that you can't necessarily see. And to me, that delineation between that difference is really, really kind of profound. So can you comment on that and expand upon, you know, that notion of they're good at physical disabilities, but cognitive disabilities not so good?
Absolutely. It is a very key thing to think about when you're thinking about accommodations. Companies have been accommodating things like I can't lift a box more than 25 pounds. You know, companies have been accommodating that sort of thing for years, and there's a kind of a track and a path and a person you call, and you kind of go down the list of things that you do in a situation like that, and they've really got it dialed in. It's very prescriptive. It's very doctor-driven. So if you have this accommodation or if you have this issue, here's the accommodation. And so the doctor, for the most part, is actually specifying the condition, and the company is kind of complying with it, is the way that works on that track. And they've been doing that for years, and it's something where it's very clear-cut and easy. When we look at the other side, I think of that as kind of track one, and track two is kind of the accommodations for things that are invisible. So in the context of our conversation, we're talking about cognitive disability. So Instead of being physical and obvious and doctor-driven, they're really less prescriptive and more situational. There's more engagement by the person who needs the accommodation and really more responsibility on that person to a certain extent. That might, you know, we can think about the way it should work, but we also have to think about the way it does work, and that is that the responsibility for even coming up with the accommodation rests almost with the person with ADHD. In our school systems, we have that dialed in a little more because we're trying to put information into our kids, and it's kind of a different scenario from getting work out of our kids or out of our adults. But it's, there's been a lot more, it's a lot more obvious and a lot more controlled, whereas in a business situation, you know, it's not nearly as controlled as it would be sitting in a classroom. So sometimes accommodations on the track two side or the cognitive side might even be able to be something that you can request without even having having to disclose and show your diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
which
yep.
I should say that I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, disclosure is kind of one of those things that's on down the line in terms of a last resort. Ideally, you want to talk about specific things that can help you in specific scenarios.
So I have to tell everybody, let's stop here for a second because, Jay, I think what you just said was brilliant, and there's lots of things I'd like to highlight. Going back to the physical disabilities, the you can't lift a box over 25, is when you say prescriptive and doctor-driven, I like that because it's very specific. Here's a specific condition. This person is not to lift over 20 pounds, if you will. And when you look at that, you can measure 20 pounds and you can say, you know, here's the accommodations that would be for that. But when you say the invisible side or the cognitive side, it's less prescriptive and it's more situational. What I conjure up to mind is a doctor's not saying, you have ADHD and you're a visual learner, and so you need to present all training materials in a visual, colorful way, which is defined as maybe graphic or picture-oriented. Because when I hear that, that's very, very, very prescriptive and very clear-cut. If you're getting a diagnosis of ADD, well, it's ADD, but it's up to the individual because it's situational. Say, hey, in these situations, this is how I learn it, and this is what I need. And it's kind of the reverse. And I think it's the beauty of the show and the essence of what we're talking about really is delineated here, because it is situational, and it is kind of the responsibility is more on you to derive it as opposed to the doctor saying, this is it, this is the prescription, everybody can follow that. Would you agree with that?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And it can be situational in a couple of different ways. One is situational in terms of, you know, the environment you're in and the situation. But then it's also situational in terms of how my specific ADHD manifests itself. Do I have trouble with, with hyperactivity, distractibility? Do I have, you know, social skill issues, time insensitivity? So ADHD manifests itself in a lot of ways. And the situational aspect of that plays directly into this in a big way.
And the before I get on to the next thing, you talked about disclosure a second ago, which is a real big issue. We did a show with Dr. Ari Tuchman, I think it was November of 2010, on disclosure. It was absolutely brilliant interview. He talked about the difference of explanation and excuse, but what I really liked is the notion of disclose the symptoms, not so much the diagnosis, because once you disclose the diagnosis, it's like, you know, it's like breaking a window. It's very difficult to put it back together again as a window. And when you do break the window, if you disclose it, and you can't put it back together, but also invite the element of stigma. And we've done an interview with Dr. Henshaw on stigma, and people jump to conclusions, and sometimes that's so hard to undo. And I just reference it when it comes to disclosure. Go back and listen to that show, because Dr. Tuchman was very insightful on that. And I really like to disclose the symptoms if you can, and not necessarily the diagnosis.
Absolutely. That conversation might go something like, you know, I have difficulty concentrating when I'm sitting here at the end of the hall where people are walking by all the time. So it's not like you say, you're disclosing the situation and the symptoms possibly, but you're not disclosing the diagnosis, which truly is hard to put back in the bottle.
And we're talking here about understanding how your specific ADHD manifests. And I can't help but remember we interviewed Dr. Jeffrey Katz and Dr. Rob Todisco. Both Dr. Jeffrey Katz, we talked about like in the IEP world. And with
right.
Rob Todisco, we talked to him about, we covered IEPs and situation, but it was more vagrancy and stuff in schools, the needs. So it was a little bit different spin. And in both of those interviews, both of them, when you're dealing with schools, the notion is you need to understand your kid's individual disability before you work for the schools. And there's we're talking about the same thing. It's just a different environment. You need to understand your own disability. And, you know, Jay, when we talked about this, you mentioned the word is when it comes to cognitive disabilities and you're going to work with your employer, the notion is to think of as co-creating a solution. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. So because there's such a wide range of how our ADHD manifests itself, and there's such a wide range of work situations that we might be in, there's no, you know, quick list of accommodations that match certain aspects of ADHD. There are certainly suggestions and, you know, things that work well for me might work well for 20% of, you know, more people. So we can talk about some specifics, but really, in this situation at work, you're really looking at what is the issue that I'm having, and what do I think would solve that? And, you know, I can think about, okay, what risk would this have for the employer? Is it something that's reasonable? Would I be able to be supported in this without, you know, how far would I have to go down the disclosure path? So you're essentially, in a sense, proposing the answer as opposed to saying, hey, I need an accommodation. And then go ahead.
No, keep going.
Yeah, so you're proposing something, and really we can talk about this in a little more depth at some point during the talk if you want to. But, you know, when I've looked at specific accommodations that are bigger accommodations, you know, I've created presentations. I've laid out, you know, a little bit of information about the situation and what the accommodation might do, what it would cost, who the best provider might be. And I know you, and I think you mentioned earlier that a lot of accommodations, you know, don't cost anything, half of them. And,
yep.
You know, 75% cost less than $500. So really, for the most part, the accommodations that we're looking for aren't going to be super expensive, but we have to take the situation seriously enough to put together information in an organized way that can persuade and convince management to support us with it.
Jay, we need to run to a commercial here in a second, but I want to go back. The title of this show is ADHD Workplace Accommodations, Preparations, Then Implementation. And when you said a second ago, it's you need to kind of almost walk in with the proposed answer as opposed to just jumping into it. And to me, that is preparation and understanding what's going on before you move forward to even address the accommodation or actually addressing it with management. And that's where I think that the focus of the show and the learning really is understanding what your disability is, understanding, searching for what you think is going to work first in that particular situation before you walk in. Jay, from your perspective, am I representing that correctly?
Absolutely, definitely.
All right. Need to run to break, but for those that are listening, if you want to learn more about Jay, if you'd like to get his advice or contact him, whatever, the best place to go is hyperfocusedcoaching.com. That's hyperfocusedcoaching.com. And Jay, that's your website, but you're hoping in the archives when people listen to this at some point in time, try /ADA because you're hoping to put a page up that speaks specifically to ADA and has a worksheet or something on. Is that right?
That's right, and you can go there right now. But a little bit later, I'm going to put a bit of a checklist and some information that you can use specifically after we have this conversation.
All right. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got Jay Carter in the house, and we're talking about ADD workplace accommodations, preparation, and implementation. Before the break, it was really cool. We talked about the difference in physical disabilities and cognitive disabilities and how physical disabilities are really prescription and doctor-driven, that are real clear-cut and easy, and that cognitive disabilities are more invisible, they're more situational, and we talked about situational could be environmental and or how your ADHD manifests, and we talked about the notion of co-creating solutions. And Jay, one of the things that I wanted to kind of highlight, I know I've coached some individuals when it comes to like movement and sound, and one was a writer that I coached that came, was very sensitive to sound, and if there was a slamming of the door or cracking and they were trying to write, that sound was, they were so sensitive to it, it would catch their attention and it would divert their attention to whatever the sound was, and it's like their working memory would be erased, and you know, whatever they were thinking, they got stuck on, so they have to kind of start over. And so in that situation, sound was really, really bad, and so we got to where we put earplugs in and stuff like that so they could focus. Yet I turn around and we interviewed Dr. Roberto Olivardi on Attention Talk Video, and when he was writing his Harvard dissertation, he can only do so with like a loud, like punk rock, like a real fast beat kind of going in the background. And for his situation, actually, he had punk rock videos playing on the same screen that he was writing with. And I say situational because here's two people that have ADD, but their ADHD is manifesting so different when they write. One of them's got to have complete and total silence, and the other one needs a fast beat in order to kind of stick with it. And those are the types of things that you say, how does your ADHD manifest? And you need to know those things before you actually walk in, begin to talk about accommodations. The way I've represented that in the way that you've been describing that, is that a good example for our listeners, Jay?
That's a very good example. For me, it's ZZ Top. That's what helps me write. If I have some ZZ Top cranking, I can write well. But, you know, even adding to the situational, there are other situations when I'm working on something that maybe requires a different type of concentration than you know, a different type of environment or a different type of noise helps. And sometimes it's even, you know, verbally processing things. You know, one of the things that we think about a lot of times around the noise aspect is, you know, white noise, or can I bring a fan in that helps me from a sound perspective? But so that's a very good, example of how it's situational and it applies to specific individuals.
So the looming large question is, if you've got ADD and you're in the workplace and you think that you need accommodations, the how part's really hard. Like, how do I figure this stuff out? And Jay, in talking to you, I understand there's workplace assessment companies and job analysis companies.
Right.
Can you talk about that a little bit, about what those are and what they actually do, just for somebody out there who has ADHD and who's having difficulty, so that they might be able to take a look at those in a context to understand if they may or may not help?
Absolutely. You know, when you're to the point that you're involving somebody who's going to come in and kind of do a job study, you've kind of got a lot of people involved at that point. So that's probably going to be more of a, when you're a little further down the line and things are a little more critical. But there definitely are companies that provide the service of analyzing the workplace, analyzing the work you're doing. It's similar if you think about the ergonomic workplace assessment. So, you know, are things in the right place? Is it the right height? Am I having to reach too high? That sort of thing. So it's a similar process where a person who's been trained in accommodations will come in. And again, that's maybe not specific to ADHD. It's maybe more specific to, you know, a cognitive type disability. So any type of accommodations in that space. And they can analyze the situation and present some possibilities to a management team or whoever the group is that is hiring this company.
Got it. So sometimes I like to make a progression in terms of our conversation, and tonight was a little bit of just the difference between the two, and I think I got a little ahead of myself. So let's jump to a topic and then come back to this. When you and I were talking about this, we talked about the hierarchy to kind of solve your problems, and first you want to deal with yourself first. then right. that's if you if there's some barriers, maybe you want to go to your manager, then maybe you want to go to the HR person, particularly if you're in a large organization, they might have a chief diversity person or a chief disability person who does these things, like at some of the larger companies. And then legal would be like kind of the end of the road, but there is a hierarchy that you want to kind of keep this kind of below the radar screen and work with yourself and the minimal number of people as possible. You want to speak to that?
Yes. And, you know, again, it's different companies have different structures and different companies are, you know, maybe better or worse in this particular area. So your company will have a specific process that you go through to get accommodations. It probably for cognitive accommodations, it probably won't be laid out very well, so you may have to search a little to find it. But sometimes, definitely, you always want to start at the level of yourself. And if there are things that you can, if you kind of assess your situation and you can think of things that will help you. For instance, I'm a very visual person. I use mind mapping as a way to capture my ideas to prepare for presentations or meetings. And, you know, that's in theory is accommodation, but I barely even had to ask for it. I just said, hey, you guys mind if I get this? Yeah, so that's fine. Go ahead. Another example of that kind of thing was, you know, I like to move around a little bit and I can think better when I do that.
Yep.
So the company provided me with a telephone headset. Again, I barely even had to ask, probably wouldn't even come under the umbrella of accommodation in that context, but it was an accommodation for me.
Yep.
And then some other things I funded myself. Dragon Naturally Speaking is something I like to use to be able to verbally process. And I bought version 8, 9, 10, and 11 myself, and then I was able to use some accommodation money to bring that as an accommodation into my company. And so now they're paying for that. So it's a, you know, there can be different levels of accommodation. So when we talk about the hierarchy,
yep.
part of it is, what can I do myself? So then the next level, depending on the company, sometimes the next level will be your manager. And that kind of depends. You kind of have to know your corporate culture and you have to know your relationship with your supervisor or your manager. Sometimes the next step in the hierarchy is going to be your manager. Other times it might be an HR person who's not, you know, in the day-to-day situation and able to be objective. So those two can kind of change places in the hierarchy based on the company that you work for.
Mm-hmm.
But then definitely as you sort of escalate further and further up, then definitely involving someone from legal would be something that, you know, you're pretty close
yep.
to the end of the line there. And, you know, I guess one thing to bring up, and I'm not sure where this kind of fits in the context of the conversation, but a lot of times our need for accommodation comes from a change in our environment. A lot of the clients that I see, a lot of the clients that you see come to see us because everything was going great. Now it's not going so great. And a lot of times that's because a new boss has come in or I've been promoted into a new job. So some of those kind of environmental factors cause us to need accommodations now when we didn't need them before.
Yep. Yep. I want to remember that and come back to that second, because that's a deep well that I'd like to go to in a second.
Okay.
But some of the things that you talked about, the headset, the Dragon Naturally Speaking, those are things that you might have gone to your company for, but I can tell you this individually. I don't use Dragon Naturally Speaking. I use a service called copy.com, and I know that if I were to go into business wherever myself, that's a service that I would probably actually pay for because I can use it personally and for whatever, and I would use it because I wouldn't want to, you know, bring anything up on the radar screen about my dyslexia and learning disability because I just don't
right.
need that scrutiny. But it would be worth my time and effort to pay for that small accommodation myself to level the playing field to kind of get out there.
Right.
But that goes back to one of the fundamental premises that I want to get back. You need to understand you need to understand your disability, you need to understand kind of like what accommodations you need kind of going into it. And
right.
it goes back to when we talk about accommodations, so much of it is free or so much of it is less than $500. if you know what it is and you can downplay a little bit, your opportunities for success are so much higher in those particular situations. And there's one other concept that I kind of want to throw in here. I got my MBA back in the 90s, and I remember taking organizational behavior, and I thought that was a really, really cool class. We had a couple exercises where you got your back to somebody, and you got this puzzle, and you're having to explain it to them on the other side, and they're putting it together, and so you realize, you know, what role communication plays in it. And I was like, I was so fired up. I'm going to go back to the office because I was managing an insurance office one time, and I'm going to take this in consideration. I got to tell you something. I remember literally walking in the door the day after, I was all fired up, and just stuff started coming at me left and right. And I was struggling enough myself just to understand and kind of keep up with it. And not knowing myself that I didn't have the time to figure myself out and everybody else out. And
right. What
I've learned from coaching is if you can understand yourself and then you can go to your boss and you can remove the mystery. Like if we do it like this, I always get it right. If we do it like that, I never get it. You remove the mystery and they at that point in time know what works. And I know when I was in that situation, if somebody walked in with a disability and said, hey, listen, this never works, but if you do it this way, it's so much easier for me to help you because you helped me help you.
Exactly.
And I really want to emphasize that because when you're going to your bosses and you're asking for them to figure it all out, they got enough to worry about themselves, much less having – that's just one more thing. And it gets kind of adversarial, yet if you can kind of figure this out and go to them and say, this is what works – it can really change the game because the idea is you want to keep it as low in the hierarchy as you can. Make sense,
absolutely.
Jay?
Absolutely. And yes, I think you hit the nail on the head.
Here, right?
Absolutely not. You hit the nail on the head because your boss is busy and has a lot to do. And even if they, you know, love you to death and want to help you as much as they can, it's a burden for them to try to figure out. I mean, they don't really have any foundation to stand on to help you out with your ADHD accommodation.
Absolutely.
You have to become an expert for yourself, and that's where things like coaching or even, you know, talking the situation over with, you know, friends or somebody who you can bounce it off of that's not involved in the accommodation hierarchy can really help.
Even sometimes going to support groups and just brainstorm with some other people about what worked for them, what their solutions won't always work for you, but it's the brainstorming process that might trigger something on your side goes, yeah, that works for me. That can be very helpful.
That's right. Jay, read some books like Paul Orfila, the Kinko's guy, has some really interesting, and you can listen to him, which is what I did instead of read it. But, you know, you can hear what's worked for other people as well.
Yep. So real quick, we need to run to a break again. For those that want to learn more about Jay, want to contact Jay, et cetera, go to hyperfocusedcoaching.com and note futuristically go to hyperfocusedcoaching.com/ADA because he's going to have some great stuff up there. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Jay Carter having a great conversation about workplace accommodations. We've covered a lot, but before the break, you talked about that notion of, let's say your environment changes, because many people come to coaching, as you alluded to, Jay, is like it's when they went from college to the work environment, when they switched jobs, when they got married. It's these transitions in lives, the times that people end up really reaching out to coaches. And so often a job will change, and the environment will change. And I'll give you an example. I remember I started in the insurance business years ago, and we had secretaries. We would walk in and dictate and all that kind of stuff. And as time went on, there's no longer secretaries, and you actually have to write emails. And I can tell you individually, I used to dictate and was, you know, I could just talk, and, you know, the secretaries were good at grammar. They take my words, and they would wordsmith it, and they were wonderful, and I didn't have to do it. But then I, all of a sudden, I had to start typing. I'm like, whoa, I grammar. This is before spell check was, I mean, it was there, but it was horrific. And, I mean, all of a sudden, it really, really kind of slowed down. And so that's in a situation where I had the same job, but the environment changed. And I want to speak to that for a second, but I also want to do a shout-out. If you're listening to this, I have been dying to try to find somebody to speak to this, because I know for a fact that insurance companies rate disability policies, particularly individual policies, if you disclose that you have ADHD. So the notion is if they're doing that, they're at risk. And so I'm really interested in trying to find somebody to interview, because insurance companies won't talk to me about this because they don't want to publicize it. But if your work environment changes, can you actually become disabled? In other words, imagine back when in the insurance business, if I had a secretary I could dictate to, and then all of a sudden they change it and they take that away, I could ask for accommodations to get the secretary. But if they refuse, can I say I have a disability right here? And again, that's a wide open space. But if you're listening to the show and you're familiar with this, or you know somebody who's familiar with, or whatever, we can talk to, send us an email at attention@attentiontalkradio.com. So I didn't mean to get off on a tangent, Jay, and I want to talk about that. But that's a separate thing. I've wanted to do that show for about 3 years, and I just haven't found the right people. But the notion that you brought up is that many people struggle in those transitions, and that's when they're looking for those accommodations. Coach, so can you share some of your thoughts on that space?
Yeah. So the transitions can be a lot of different things, and one of the things that I wanted to kind of hit here a little bit in this context is, you know, if someone is doing well in their job, the scenario changes. Now they're not doing so well. Accommodations could maybe help. But one of the other things to think about when you're thinking about your situation is that, you know, the further you go down the slide of poor performance, the harder it is to really easily create accommodations that kind of breeze through, and the more it becomes kind of an adversarial thing. So when we're in those transitions, one thing we need to think about is, you know, if I'm in the new position, there are pieces of my job that aren't going as well as I'd want them to. Let me address those now. Let me not wait, you know, 6 months or a year down the line when I've missed some deadlines and my performance has started to slide, because then it's kind of like, oh, the disability is, you know, showing up now that we want to, you know, provide some disciplinary action or that sort of thing. So from that perspective, I would just say that, you know, the earlier you are on the path, the better off we are with catching those things. So I think part of it, then the discussion on the transitions, is awareness and paying attention to the things that are happening in your environment. And not only that, but maybe even sort of expecting that there are going to be difficulties. If a new boss comes in, or if you take a new position in your company, or you get a new job, or any of the other transitions that we talk about, be aware, pay attention to it, and think about, okay, what's my situation like? Are there things coming up that I'm starting to see that could develop into a problem? And having the accommodation ahead of time, because companies want employees who are productive, who are not super stressed out, who aren't, you know, like the duck where the feet are paddling like crazy, and on the surface they may look calm, even though we don't always look calm with our ADHD. But companies are as much as they can be. They're on our side in this. The whole accommodation discussion is difficult, and the stigma associated with ADHD is difficult, and things like this show help, because the antidote to stigma is awareness, and that's what gets created through this. But in general, companies want to do the right thing, and in general, companies that have more than 15 employees really are required, unless they can prove some obvious hardship, you know, they're required to provide reasonable accommodations.
And for many companies, large companies, not only do they want this to happen, but they want it to happen and hold it up to say, look at what we're doing, as kind of a good corporate citizen as a result of it. Because, you know, Jay, you're on a couple organizations, and
yes,
you guys are working together with HR departments. It's not only just it's not just retain, but actually hire, train, and retain them. I mean, that's the whole goal. And to me, there's a great marketing opportunity to say we're good corporate citizens because we're doing that, which is kind of, as an aside, it's interesting to me. I had an uncle one time who was running a chicken plant, and he hired this disabled person, and it took this guy like 6 months to learn the job. But he said what was amazing to me is after we made that investment years down the road, he was doing the job of four people at one point in time, and he used to just squawk about how patient he was. And it was like this really cool thing, this success story, and it was like one of the – he used to like parade people through the plant and identify this and show it off because it was so kind of cool, and it became just this neat thing. So and at the end of the day, companies kind of want to do it. But one of the key learnings from today is you got to help them do it, and you need to learn
right
your situation. So a few other things before – I want to just touch base before we wrap this up. One of this is a bizarre question to come towards the end of the show, but – the notion is ADHD a disability? And I say that, Jay, when in your world, when you say, I mean, I think some people, yeah, well, it is, but is it?
Right. I think that, you know, when you think about in the context that we're talking about accommodations, which are the legal foundation for that comes from the Americans with Disabilities Act, and I just totally forgot where I was going with that.
We're talking about is ADHD is in fact a disability?
Right.
And when you, in the context of Americans with Disability Act.
Yep, that's right. So the ADA exists to prevent discrimination against people with disabilities, and the interesting thing is that the ADA has specific things that it covers. So it covers what they call major life activities. And there's a big list of major life activities that are covered. And some of the important ones for us are things like learning, working, communicating, reading, thinking, concentrating. So those are major life activities that can be impacted by ADHD. And they also cover bodily functions, and there's a list of 10 or 11 or so of those in the law. And a couple of those that apply to ADHD are things like neurological functions and brain functions. So the ADA doesn't cover specific disabilities, but ADHD is covered by the ADA to the extent that a person's ADHD manifests itself in such a way that it interferes with one of those major life activities or bodily functions. So from the context of the ADA, it's really more the outcome that shows the disability as opposed to the diagnosis.
And in separate interviews, as I alluded to earlier with Jeffrey Katz and Robert Tedisco, just because you have ADA
right.
in the school system doesn't necessarily mean that you're automatically entitled to accommodations at different types of things. It depends on how it manifests in those individual classrooms, which goes back again to reinforce the theme about for the thousandth time, is that companies are really good at physical disabilities, not so good at cognitive disabilities. The notion is you need to understand your disability first and then take the approach that you're going to co-create this. And if you can, try to figure out what you need first before you get in there. And that goes back to the whole point of this, and the title of it is preparation and then implementation. And circling back, is I think some of the basic levels are – is to go out and get an education on ADHD. Certainly you're a coach, Jay. I'm a coach. I think we're believers in the coaching philosophy that you come to us and we can work with you to understand how you work. But there's cognitive behavioral therapy. There's other types of things that can kind of help you figure that out along the way. But I think the key is to invest the time to understand how you work and what works, and then to take that approach. And I think that the relationship and what you're trying to accomplish is going to go a lot further, because it's going to be more sugar-based as opposed to salt, by saying, listen, I've got this thing. I need you guys to solve it for me. And if you do, I think that's going to be relatively difficult. You got comments on that? Would you agree with that?
Yes,
any adjustments you want to make?
Yep, that's absolutely true. And, you know, it's really like anything else. If you're going to someone else and asking them to solve a problem for you, then you're creating work for them. And it's, you know, even outside the context of disability, if I'm an employee and I am always bringing problems to my boss as opposed to bringing solutions or figuring things out, then I'm less valuable to the company. So I want to use the same problem solving skills and different talents that I bring to my work and bring that to bear on this accommodation situation as well.
Absolutely. Jay, before we wrap this up, anything else that is worth noting before we wrap it up?
I think that one thing is that it's important to consider accommodations, and even in your own, you know, home and away from work, different things that you're involved in, it's useful a lot of times to think about, okay, what could help me do this better? What could, you know, how could I, in the sense, accommodate myself? And, you know, there are a lot of things even at home or in my car or different places that I can do to improve the quality of my life. And, you know, I'm a big productivity guy, so I'm always constantly looking for ways to improve my the things that I'm trying to do and the amount that I can get done. But that same kind of sort of scanning the environment can make our lives a lot less stressful in general.
Absolutely. And I'll have to tell you, again, this is Jay Carter. For more information on him, go to hyperfocusedcoaching.com. He's a coach. I'm a coach. But I have to tell you, I call him App Man and Gadget Guy, because he loves technology. And if I was actually having a conversation with somebody about this the other day, is so many people that I coach, Jay, is they get the technology is confusing them because they're trying to fit themselves into the tool. And so often my people and I, let's get rid of all the tools and let's bust this thing all down to paper, because if we know how you organize information on paper, then you can begin to figure out which tool fits your organizational system. And I'm pretty good at doing some of that stuff, but I have to tell you, when it comes to the tools, you know, come to a guy like me, I'll help you try to figure out how you do it. But when you need to figure out the tools, Jay's the guy to go, because he's used half the tools out there, half the apps that are out
right.
there. And if you can articulate what's going on, he could say, well, you know, well, Dropbox will work for you, or this will work for you. I mean, he loves that type of stuff. And so if you know how you organize yourself and you just want somebody who's got – let me rephrase this. If you don't want to pay for the tuition of learning all the apps, pay Jay, because he'll get you to the app that you need a heck of a lot quicker for that tool. Of course, you have to be able to articulate, you know, how you organize yourself. But that's just a – you know, Jay, we never talked about it. A little plug for you. You're really good at some of that stuff, and so again,
I appreciate that. And that's really,
I
appreciate it. That's an area I'm really passionate about. It's a lot of fun for me to work with technology and to work with people in technology.
And he loves it. So you know, you probably get a discount from it if you just say you heard him on this radio show and do it. But I encourage you to do that. So with that, Jay, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is it's been spectacular. Great job, and I think you've provided a lot of really useful information for our listeners out there. So thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for all you do, and I really always enjoy talking to you.
Absolutely. Everybody, again, it's Jay Carter at hyperfocusedcoaching.com. With that, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.